Pavitra, Padama, Pavan, Purusha, Shashvata, Divya, Adideva, Ajam Vibhu, Param Brahma Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhava, Purusham Shashvatam Divya, Majam Vibhum Arjuna Vacha Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Deva Majam Vibhum Arjuna Vacha Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhava Purusham Shashvatam Divya Adi Devam Majam Vibhu. Translation: Arjuna said, "You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. All the great sages such as Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyas confirm this truth about you, and now you yourself are declaring it to me." Purport. In these two verses, the Supreme Lord gives a chance to the modern philosopher, for here it is clear that the Supreme is different from the individual soul. Arjuna, after hearing the essential four verses of Bhagavad Gita in this chapter, became completely free from all doubts and accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's confirmed. He at once boldly declares, "You are the Param Brahma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And previously Krishna stated that he is the originator of everything and everyone. Every demigod and every human being is dependent upon him. Men and demigods, out of ignorance, think that they are absolute and independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That ignorance is removed perfectly by the discharge of devotional service. This has already been explained in the previous verse by the Lord. Now by his grace, Arjuna is accepting him as the Supreme Truth in concordance with the Vedic injunction. It is not that because Krishna is Arjuna's intimate friend, Arjuna is flattering him by calling him the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth. Whatever Arjuna says in these two verses is confirmed by Vedic truth. Vedic injunctions affirm that only one who takes the devotional service to the Supreme Lord can understand him, whereas others cannot. Each and every word of this verse spoken by Arjuna is confirmed by Vedic injunction. In the Kena Upanishad, it is stated that the Supreme Brahman is the rest for everything, and Krishna has already explained that everything is resting on him. The Mundaka Upanishad confirms that the Supreme Lord, in whom everything is resting, can be realized only by those who engage constantly in thinking of him. This constant thinking of Krishna is smaranam, one of the methods of devotional service. It is only by devotional service to Krishna that one can understand his position and get rid of this material body. In the Vedas, the Supreme Lord is accepted as the purest of the pure. One who understands that Krishna is the purest of the pure can become purified from all sinful activities. One cannot be disinfected from sinful activities unless he surrenders unto the Supreme Lord. Arjuna's acceptance of Krishna as the Supreme Pure complies with the injunctions of Vedic literature. This is also confirmed by great personalities of whom Narada is the chief. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one should always meditate upon him and enjoy one's transcendental relationship with him. He is the Supreme Existence. He is free from bodily needs, birth, and death. Not only Arjuna confirms this, but all the Vedic literatures, the Puranas, and histories. In all Vedic literatures, Krishna is described. The Supreme Lord himself also says in the fourth chapter, "Although I am unborn, I appear on this earth to establish religious principles. He is the Supreme Origin. He has no cause, for he is the cause of all causes. And everything is emanating from him." This perfect knowledge can be had with the grace of the Supreme Lord. Here Arjuna expresses himself through the grace of Krishna. If we want to understand Bhagavad Gita, we should accept the statements in these two verses. This is called parampara system, acceptance of the disciplic succession. Unless one is in the disciplic succession, he cannot understand Bhagavad Gita. It is not possible by so-called academic education. Unfortunately, those proud of their academic education, despite so much evidence in Vedic literatures, stick to their obstinate conviction that Krishna is an ordinary person. Srila Prabhupada ki. Okay, Sham, you want to speak?
Sounds like Sarajevo.
Oma gyanti manandasya ginangina shalakaya chakshuri militam jenitas mai sigurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya manovistam stapitam jenam bhutale shwayam rupakada mayam dadanti sva padanti kam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivrindam.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama.
So each and every verse of the Bhagavad Gita is important because it is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But there are, as Prabhupada mentions in his purport, essential verses which bring out the real essence of the Bhagavad Gita and the meaning of Bhagavad Gita, making it very clear. And this is one such verse which Srila Prabhupada would often quote to substantiate the authority of Bhagavad Gita. Here we see that Arjuna, who is the first student of Bhagavad Gita, the first recipient of Bhagavad Gita, he is accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a very significant point. Because without accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the infallible Lord, then the Bhagavad Gita really doesn't have so much significance, so much importance. It's simply another one of the unlimited philosophical treaties by some fairly intelligent person within the material creation. But as we know, anyone who is within this material creation has four defects. He has imperfect senses, he commits mistakes, he has a tendency to fall under illusion. Despite this, he presents himself as an authority, therefore he has a cheating propensity. He's a cheater. And this applies to anyone within the jurisdiction of the material world, even from Lord Brahma down to the insignificant ant. Of course, Brahma is a very intelligent creature. He's usually chosen from the pious souls. The most pious soul, he becomes Lord Brahma, and his function is to create this universe as we know it. But how? Under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Even the great demigods were, you know, infinitely more intelligent than we are. Infinitely. They're controlling the whole cosmic creation. They receive their intelligence from who? Govinda Madhipurusham Tamaham Rajami. From the original person, Govinda. Even Brahma confirms this. The scientists would be very surprised to know that the first creature in this universe was not a stupid amoeba. But the first creature in this universe was actually the most intelligent being. And that is Lord Brahma. The first creature had four heads. Ramaji. Otherwise, how is it possible he created this, the variety of this cosmic world as we see it? Even to run an ordinary temple, we require two or three people. We have our president, we have our vice president, our treasurer, our Sankirtan leader, our cook. So many heads are necessary to run even a small temple. How many heads are necessary to run the whole universe? So we shouldn't be surprised if the first being has more than one, two, three. He has four heads, because he has to keep charge everything within the four directions. So even that person, Brahma, he depends upon the Supreme Lord for his intelligence. Tene Brahma Adi Kovaye. From within the heart, Lord Krishna enlightened Brahma to perform his service of the creation. So, what to speak of Lord Brahma, Indra, Chandra, their crores and crores of demigods, how much more we ourselves are dependent upon the Supreme Personality of God for knowledge. Especially knowledge which is beyond our ability to see or to understand. Knowledge which is beyond our direct sense perception. How much more do we depend upon the Supreme Personality of God? So, everyone within this material world has these four defects. Therefore, they cannot present absolute truth, perfect knowledge. They are defective. Therefore, to understand perfect knowledge, we have to go to the infallible Lord, who is beyond this material creation. It's stated that before the creation, Narayan existed. During the creation, Narayan exists. And after the creation, Narayan is also existing. Shankaracharya used to give this verse simply to show that Narayan is transcendental. Transcendental means that he is beyond the imperfect nature of this material world. Therefore, he alone can present perfect knowledge of God. So unless we accept Krishna in that way as the transcendent Lord, the infallible Lord, then the Bhagavad Gita is not a perfect book. It's just another one of the unlimited philosophical speculations of some erudite poet or philosopher or someone like that in the material world. It can't lead us to the absolute truth. So we have to understand Bhagavad Gita in the same way that Arjuna accepted it. We must accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we do that, then we can actually enter into the essence of Krishna consciousness and benefit from it. Of course, there are many commentators who take Bhagavad Gita and translate it and present Krishna as something else, as one great king or a philosopher, or some even say that Krishna never even existed. Gandhi said like that. Although Gandhi is very much respected within the Hindu community, Gandhi, he speculated that Krishna was actually a mythological character. He never really existed. That the battle of Kurukshetra, he supported the theory that Krishna represents the mind, the Pandavas represent the five senses, and this way it's an allegory. Many commentators on the Bhagavad Gita say like that. The Prabhupada said, I can take you by the ear to the battlefield of Kurukshetra and I can show you it is an historical place. And not only is Arjuna, if one doesn't want to accept Arjuna's statement that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he was a reality, then Arjuna is referring to other great personalities, such as Narada, Asita, Devala, Vyasa. They also confirm this truth about you. If they don't want to accept Arjuna's conclusion, then there are so many other great personalities who are accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, including the Vedic literatures. Just like when you refer to some thing in music, then quite often you refer to great personalities who confirmed it. Well, Beethoven said so, and Mozart said so, and Tchaikovsky said so, these different personalities. And when you quote them, then people are assured, oh yes, then it's a fact. If they say so, then it must be a fact. So Arjuna is saying that, not only am I saying this, but Narada, he's accepted as a great authority, Asita is accepted as a great authority, Devala, Vyasa, they all confirm you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we want to accept Bhagavad Gita, we must accept it like that in the disciplic succession. Otherwise, we won't get the real benefit. Prabhupada said, when you read Bhagavad Gita, it's just like taking medicine. Because we are conditioned souls, we are in a disease condition. So in disease condition, you need medicine. So the disease for the conditioned soul who's forgetful of God is to take the prescription as is given on the bottle of Bhagavad Gita, and that is to accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Then the benefit will come. Just like before Srila Prabhupada came to the Western countries, some of the people were presenting Bhagavad Gita, but the result was not there, the healthy condition. Sarva dharmam praditya ja, mamekam sananam braja, aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha sima sucha. That is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, just abandon all varieties of dharma and surrender unto me, I will protect you from all sinful reaction, do not fear. That should be the end result of following Bhagavad Gita in the footsteps of Arjuna, that one should become a devotee. One should become a devotee of the Supreme Personality of God. That is the benefit. But previously, before Prabhupada came, no one was surrendering. Bhagavad Gita was simply known as a poetic book or something like this, something curious. But actually it is meant for all conditioned souls in all phases of time. Arjuna surrendered 5,000 years ago, and we are also meant to surrender today in the same way, accepting him as the Supreme Lord. And then the benefit will be there. Of course, one can say that within Bhagavad Gita, there's many instructions. Why are we simply emphasizing this one instruction, Sarva Dharmam Paricca Jam Amikam? Krishna also speaks about Hatha Yoga. He also speaks about Jnana Yoga. He also speaks about Dhyana Yoga, different types of yoga. Why are we stressing so much this one fact, this one verse, Sarva Dharmam Paricca Jam? Well, Prabhupada answered this question very nicely. He said that when many instructions are given, then the last instruction is the most important. If someone gives several different instructions, you may be confused which instruction I should follow. The Prabhupada said the last instruction is the most pertinent. So, of course, there are many instructions in Bhagavad Gita, but if one studies those instructions in relationship to the goal, one can see that Krishna is simply leading Arjuna to this conclusion. He's giving Arjuna different opportunities to come to this stage of perfection, full surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that instruction comes in the 18th chapter, Sarva Dharma Puricchaja, that we just give up all the other instructions, all the other varieties of dharma and duty, and simply to surrender to the Lord, then we'll get the real benefit. And what is that benefit? Love of God. It's like if you take the medicine, then you get rid of the disease, number one, and number two, you become healthy. So how can we judge if one is actually practicing Bhagavad Gita as it is? Number one, he gives up the disease condition. He gives up sense gratification. And number two, he gradually awakens his love of God. That is the real test of religion. Religion is not a type of thing you simply wear a stamp. I am a Hindu, I am a Christian, I am a Muslim. It is not some social club, but it's actually meant for purification. So after going to the church, after going to the mosque, and going to the temple, one comes out, the same mundane personality he was when he went in. That means the religion is not working. Because religion is meant to take us from the impure stage to the pure stage, from the disease stage to the healthy stage. So if one is not becoming healthy by his religious practice, that means there's something wrong. He's not practicing correctly, or he's not practicing a proper process of spiritual life. We can judge one's advancement, first of all, by one's ability to give up his false attachments to the material world, sense gratification. Obviously, if one is coming in contact with God, he will become disinterested in this material world. It's a natural conclusion. If one is coming in contact with God, and he's experiencing the Param Krishna Nivartante, he's experiencing the higher taste, then naturally, he's going to give up the inferior taste. Just as a child matures, just like these young girls, they have dollies probably. So as they mature, then they get higher taste. They start growing up, teenagers, then they put their dolls away. It's natural. The boys put their trucks away. When one experiences the higher taste, he becomes disinterested in the inferior taste. So a natural conclusion is that one who has experienced Krishna consciousness, he'll be able to give up sense gratification. To the degree that one has actually progressed, that one has actually realized God, then he can give up his false attachment to this material world. That is the real test. That's why Prabhupada, when he was asked, what is the best religion? Prabhupada didn't speak in a sectarian way. Oh, Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, Islam. He didn't say like that. He said the best religion is that religion which awakens your love for God. And the proof is that one is becoming detached from sense gratification. Therefore, it stands to reason that anyone who is becoming saintly will see that they can follow these four regulative principles without any difficulty. Sometimes people are surprised that we can follow these disciplines, which are the very pillars of Kali Yuga, meat-eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. But for one who has experienced the higher taste, especially through kirtana, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then he can very easily control his senses from engaging in these mundane activities. And besides that, with his intelligence, he can understand that those so-called enjoyable activities only bring distress. Meat eating brings bad karma, intoxication corrupts the body, illicit sex breaks up the family, produces unwanted children and diseases. Gambling means getting something for nothing. If you get something for nothing, then you no longer have to work, everyone becomes lazy, and the whole social structure of society falls apart. So these principles actually lead to degradation. So one must give them up. There's no question of practicing religion unless one is becoming purified. As Prabhupada said, religion and sense gratification go ill together. So they must be given up, but they can only be given up when one experiences the real taste of Krishna consciousness, which is available by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya very easily in this age. Most of us cannot dedicate ourselves full time to monastic life, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made a concession. It's simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. One can achieve that same perfection that Arjuna achieved by being a constant companion, a constant associate of the Lord 5,000 years ago. What was achieved in Satya Yuga through meditation, what was achieved in Treta Yuga through temple worship, what was achieved in Dwapara Yuga, through fire sacrifice, what was achieved in Dwapara Yuga through temple worship, over many thousands and thousands of years, going to be achieved in one lifetime. If one properly chants, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Actually, Srila Rupa Goswami has given us 64 essential items for the practice of devotional service and nectar of devotion. And out of those, he has summarized five as being extremely important. Those five are chanting the holy names of the Lord, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, associating with devotees, and living in a holy place. If one can incorporate these five principles in one's life, there's every chance that one can become purified and awaken love of God within this lifetime. And actually this Krishna conscious movement is constructed in such a way that we have the opportunity, all of us, to perform these five activities. We all chant the holy names. We all have the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, either in the privacy of our homes or at the temple. We all have the chance to worship the deity, meaning participating in the Artik ceremony or going to the temple and offering something to the deity. We have the opportunity of associating with devotees, and we have the opportunity of living in a holy place. Even a house like this can be made a holy place by installing Kartamashi. This is Kartamashi. Kartamashi means Krishna when he's standing alone with his flute like that. Kartamashi means the boss. It's one of the first deities of Prabhupada. Let the devotees worship in ISKCON, Kartamashi the boss. So by having Kartamashi here and knowing he's the boss of the household and thereby offering everything to him, our love, our devotion, our prasadam, everything, we can become very quickly purified. But then, out of these five items, there's one item in particular which is most important. And that is stressed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's quoting it, Brihat Narayana Purana. Harinam, 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 Evakevalam, Palua Nashdeva, Nashdeva, Nashdeva. Those five items are essential. But actually, each one of those particular items has to be performed under a particular time and circumstance. But the chanting of Hare Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there's no hard and fast rule. You can chant anywhere, at any time, under any circumstance, and make progress. But the others, there has to be some favorable condition. For example, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. You cannot hear Srimad Bhagavatam all day unless you have the luxury, like Shanatan Goswami. When he wanted to give up his service as a government minister, he just went to his house with some brahmanas and he sat down, and all day long they were simply engaged in discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes we think, oh, that would be very nice. All of us are working very hard at our professions or whatever we're doing in a business, or even like myself, traveling and preaching. Many times the thought comes into mind, I would just like to sit down and hear Srimad Bhagavatam all day long. Everybody's appreciating the Bhagavatam life. But it's not possible. We have our various responsibilities and our duties, so at least if we can hear half an hour, 45 minutes every morning at the temple or with our family members, some purification is there. But it's not. There are some hard and fast rules. Bhagavatam has to be in the proper atmosphere at the proper time, generally the morning hours. So, chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping the deity. One cannot just worship the deity anywhere and everywhere. Deity worship must be done according to the proper standard. The deity is actually installed in the temple, and he receives religiously seven offerings a day. Specific times, specific offerings. You must go to the temple to see the deity. You can't say, oh, I'm going to work now, so I will take Kartamashi with me and we will go to the office. No, he's the boss. He stays here. You're a servant. You go to work and you bring the money to him. So deity worship is like that. It can't be changed. It's very strict. The deity must stay here. You must approach him and offer him food. So there's so many rules and regulations that are hard and fast rules. Living in a holy place, we can't stay in the house all day long, we have to work, we have to go to our job. We may be able to visit Vrindavan once a year if we're very fortunate, maybe once every 5 years, 10 years, maybe some of us can only visit Vrindavan Mathura once or twice in our lifetime. So if our Krishna consciousness were dependent upon our living in a holy place, considering the Dham, like Mayapur, Dwarka, or Vrindavan, then we wouldn't get very much done. It would be irresponsible. There are some few fortunate souls like Govinda Maharaj. He can live in Vrindavan and come out of the time. But others, we have so many resources. So there are some hard and fast rules regarding also living in the holy place and associating with devotees. Of course, we would love to be an associate. We would love to be like this all day long. We could do. Actually, if it was possible, we could stay here tonight, and tomorrow we would have kirtan and dance and have some discourse on Bhagavad Gita and then some prasad. There's no problem with prasadam here. In fact, we ate so much prasadam today that it will last us at least 10 days. So we would love to stay here. The problem, we'd get a little fat, so that maybe we'd dance it off in kirtan. And we'd hear some discourse. We could go on, but again, we have so many children must go to school and the parents must work. So there are some hard and fast rules regarding even this essential aspect of devotional service. But that first aspect of devotional service, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. No hard and fast rules. You can't chant in the shower. You can't have Bhagavatam class in the bathroom. You cannot take Kautamashi into the shower. You cannot associate with devotees in the shower. There's some hard and fast, but you can chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And if you think about it, we have to spend, you know, time there and other places as well. So is that time to be wasted? No. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Actually, one time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was using the latrine. And when he was in there, he began to chant, Hare Krishna. Oh, what am I doing? I'm bringing Krishna in this filthy place? What a rascal I am. He bit his tongue. Ah! Such a rascal I am. I brought Krishna into this filthy place. Krishna, of course, Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. There's no difference between Krishna and me. Can you believe that? Okay. I could see the way he was dancing, but it was so. Mahaprabhu was lamenting like that, so he came out of the latrine and there was one little boy there, his name was Gopal. And Gopal said to him, Mahaprabhu, why have you stopped chanting? Mahaprabhu said, well, I was in this contaminated place and I was bringing Krishna there in the form of his name. The little boy said, no, Mahaprabhu, you have taught us that the holy name can never be contaminated. Nama Chintamani Krishna is Chaitanya Rasa Viga. It is perfect. Complete. It's perfectly pure. The holy name can never be contaminated. You can chant it anywhere, as you said, Kirtana Yat Sada Hari. Janata Pisani, Janata Pisani, Amanina, Kirtana Yat Sada Hari. If we develop the proper qualifications, we can chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. The little Gopal said, that is your instruction. So Mahaprabhu said, yes. So from now on, you will be called Gopal Guru. He's only a 5-year-old boy. So he actually grew up to be a great acharya within our disciplic succession, Gopal Guru, great Vaishnava devotee. So Mahaprabhu accepted this instruction. That, and this is why he said, no hard and fast rules. So we should take this Hare Krishna mantra as the very essence of our devotional service. Actually, Rupa Goswami even describes it in the process of deity worship, which is essential for us. Because if we worship the deity very nicely, we see how beautiful is Krishna. We'll very quickly lose our attraction for the false beauty of this material world. Everyone in this material world is struggling. As Rupa Goswami said, as young boys are attracted to young girls and young girls are attracted to young boys, my dear Lord, with the same intensity, let me be attracted to you. So every living entity is struggling with this attachment in the material world. But if the beauty of Krishna is revealed through deity worship, then Krishna will reciprocate. Prabhupada said, if you treat the deity like he's brass, he'll remain brass to you forever. But if you treat him as he is, not as a statue, but as the direct son of Nanda Maharaj, then one day the deity will speak to you. So the deity is there. So when we serve the deity, in reciprocation, he reveals himself gradually. But even that essential deity worship, Prabhupada said, in Kali Yuga, it's full of so many imperfections and so many flaws. Because we are not up to the standard of those in Dvapara Yuga. And in Dvapara Yuga, the process was deity worship. But it was very, very detailed, very, very exacting. One little fault, very bad reaction. So, because of our minds and our senses, sometimes even in the performance of deity worship, there's some mistake. But all mistakes are rectified by the auspicious presence of the Holy Name. Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
So therefore, this is the religious process of the sage. The religious process of the sage is simply Harinam, chanting the holy name of the Lord. That will purify our hearts, help us give up false attractions to the material world, and the holy name will reveal himself directly as the Supreme Lord, and we can awaken fully our love of God. Hare
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki.
Jai.
Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Krishna Maha Mantra ki.
Jai.
Mangal Arti ki.
Jai.
That was the littlest jai. So thank you very much. Prahlad, we'll have another short kirtan. It's
10 o'clock.
I know. But there's no hard and fast rules. Who wants to go home and go to sleep now? Who would like to have another short sleep here? This is what we were born for.
And then we became very gratefully and very happily, we became the menial servants of our spiritual master. And we will, none of us will ever regret it, ever, because that is Prabhupada's wonderful mercy. So through that menial service, we're beginning to understand how nice it is to actually be a servant. I want to be a servant. I don't want to be independent. Everyone is crying for independence. They want to be independent from God. They want to be independent.